the rest of my life. And so one of the most important things, one of the greatest things I ever done was go to church. Another great thing that I did was I was obedient to the scripture when it called for repentance. I was obedient to the scripture when it called for baptism in Jesus' name. Then I was obedient to the scripture when it said I can have the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Then it said I could live a holy lifestyle, separated from the world. Not so I could say I'm separated from the world, but because the Lord loves us to be separated from the world. That's the way He developed us and designed us. Amen? But I found out that the greatest thing that I could ever do was fall in love with Jesus. You see, I didn't know Him when I repented. I accepted Him by faith. I didn't know Him when I was baptized. I didn't know Him when I received the Holy Ghost. It took me a little while to get to know Him, to feel and sense Him, and to get some understanding about Him. But when I did, I fell in love with Him. And now, I thank God for all those other things, but mostly I thank the Lord for the day that I literally fell in love with Jesus. Amen. That's personal. Do you have that personal with Him? If you don't, you can tonight. It will enlighten your understanding. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But we're going to dismiss our children for children's church and let them go and have a good time in the Word of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Had one of those great days. It was full of variety. Got up this morning and I found the prayer room. And I've been praying for a gentleman. When we bought our tractor for the church property, we bought it from Sync Farm Equipment. And the owner's name is Claude. Claude, I found out, was just recently diagnosed with cancer. He's about 84 years old. He and his wife delivered our tractor. And couldn't stop bragging and telling us how awesome our property was and how beautiful it was back here. And so I went to Sync Farm Equipment, and I was looking for Claude, but Claude was at home. He was having a bad day. And I didn't know it, but the co-owner is his son, and his daughter sits at the counter. And I got in discussion with them, and before it was over, right there in the middle of Sync Farm Equipment, we were holding hands, calling on the Holy Ghost. Tears in everybody's eyes, and reaching out and believing the Lord for healing. And so, it's been a good day. Also, I was able to mow some grass on the other side of the creek over there, and just had a variety today. Cut a couple of trees down to add to the dilemma over there. And cut some poison ivy away from trees so our kids wouldn't get it when they played in the creek. Looked for poisonous snakes that I could kill and add to my, what would you call it, trophy list. So when our kids played in the creek. Met with Rick, saw preliminary drawings in the office. Came out of the office and I'm standing in the pulpit as you see me right now. So it's been a day full of variety. It's been a good day. Amen. Well, let's look at Matthew 13 and 12. Matthew 13 and 12. I'd like to think that all of our Bible studies are very important, but this could be one of those that are majorly important. Won't be long, but it will be important. For whosoever hath, in other words, to whosoever has, to him shall be given. Amen. Now, we need to understand that the Lord doesn't look at poor, and the Lord doesn't look at sad and without like we do. People get the tendency to get jealous when other people have something that they don't have, but I've been trying to put it in our minds and our spirits and our hearts. I'll be the first to tell you, I have felt jealousy. Have you ever felt jealousy, or am I by myself? Who was that masked man? That was the Lone Ranger. Well, I don't want to feel like the Lone Ranger. And I don't want you to raise your hand, but every one of us have felt the spirit of jealousy at one time or another, for one reason or another. And but we need to fight the spirit of jealousy, because the Bible says jealousy is the rage of a person. Did you know people are jealous, and they know they're jealous, and they can't stand that about themselves? And so it's something that they fight. But what I'm saying is, stay in the fight. I've told you many times that God is going to begin to bless individuals. He's going to begin to touch them physically, spiritually, monetarily. That means with money, finances. Listen to me. Again, rejoice with them. Don't get mad at them. Don't stop waving at them when you pass their house. Amen. Don't make fun of them and say, it's a mansion. Because you are going to be so ashamed and so embarrassed when God gives you more than they've got. Just because it didn't start with you doesn't mean it's not going to end with you. So rather than be jealous, rejoice. Let's keep the family together. Let's keep loved ones together. Let's keep the church together. And let's love one another. Because it doesn't start with everybody at the same time, but it doesn't end with the same individual it started with. It can't, because it already started with them, right? And so God's going to choose someone else in the middle, someone else on the end. God, there are blessings untold. He's got plenty. And so rejoice with your brother and sister, because God looks at it like this: whosoever has, to him shall be given. He's going to give you more. Because you had a right spirit about getting it. And so you're going to maintain a good spirit about keeping it. And you're only going to get more. And he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Now the reason why people go through life without is because they don't want to work for it, live for it, serve God for it, believe God, have faith for it, rejoice with others when they have it. And they're going to keep a jealous attitude and a jealous spirit all their lives. And so they're never going to have it. And so that which you don't have, God's going to even take more than that. That's tough stuff, isn't it? Amen. Am I making any sense? Let's look now at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 7. Proverbs 4 and verse number 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. The very most important thing. Amen. If you feel that you lack wisdom, the Bible tells us to call on the name of the Lord and ask for wisdom, and God would give it to us. Wisdom is something that I pray for constantly, non-stop. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In other words, you say, well, I'm not very wise. That's no excuse, because my Bible says that you can go to God and get wisdom. And with all thy getting, now we're starting to hone in on the subject tonight. With everything that you try to get from God, please get understanding. Get understanding. Amen. All right, one more before we're seated. Proverbs 13 and 15. Praise God. Proverbs 13, 15. Good understanding giveth what? Favor. Now, we got to understand, if we have good understanding, where is that favor going to come from? Somebody said, just said it. Say it again. God. But the way of transgressors, well, that's just going to be hard. That is simply going to be hard. What's a transgressor? Somebody want to help me with that? Bible study night. Help me out. Get your mind working. What's a transgressor? Could we sum it up by simply saying it is somebody that is disobedient to God? Disobedient to his ways. Disobedient to his qualities. We don't care to think like God thinks or to act like he acts. Just transgressing that. Just going against all of that. And the Bible says that your ways are going to be hard. Now, I'm not teaching this tonight because we have a problem with somebody that don't want understanding. I'm teaching this tonight because we do want to understand something, and that is this. There is an urgency to understand God. And so we would do well to leave this building with a desire and a hunger to understand God. So with that being said, let's teach tonight and let's learn about the urgency of understanding. The urgency of understanding. Amen? Praise God. Brother Scarborough, you did such a good job the other night taking us to the Lord. Would you do it once again? Praise God. Hallelujah. Mighty is the name. Wonderful. Yes. 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 Amen. Somebody say amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for being at Midweek Bible Study. Praise God. Just real quick announcement. If I could see brother and sister Hunt, and after service, real quick, and if I could see brother and sister Brown after service, real quick, I would appreciate that. Amen. Brief meeting. Hallelujah. To him, the Bible said, to him that hath shall be given. So, here's what we've got to start with. We've all been given a base or a preliminary foundation for God to build on. And so we want God to build on it, right? Amen. We want it to be everything about the Lord. I remember a few years back that, what was it? What would Jesus say? Amen. Is that what WWJS? Is that, say it again. What did it mean? What did it stand for? What would Jesus do? Amen. I wish I had a lapel button that I could give everyone tonight, and that in all your actions, in all your response, in all your sayings, that we could see that and ask ourselves that before we let anything fly, before we make a decision, before we take on any kind of attitude, and ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? That's a good thing. It's a very good thing. And I like that. I guess that's why it was such a good hit. Praise God. Because you've been given a base, and God wants to build on that, and it would do good to find out what the rest of what God wants to build. Amen. So, if you don't have, now you're going to have to listen to me here. If you don't have the hath, the Bible says that to him that hath shall be given. If you don't have the hath, you're going to lose that even which you have. Now you're confused. What is the hath? That which thou hath. God is going to give you even add even more to that. What we have is the Bible foundation. He hath a Bible foundation. And he hath a mind of God. He hath the blessings of the Lord. And God is even going to add to that. But if you don't have that, then there's nothing for God to build a foundation on. And there's nothing for God to add to. And so God's going to take away even that which we have. In other words, I'd rather acknowledge the hath than the have. Praise God. If you, the most dangerous thing a Christian can say is, I don't understand. Because many times we do understand, and we use that for an excuse. I don't understand. Well, you know, God just did this for your neighbor, or He just did this for your brother, or He just did this for your sister. Really? Well, I don't know why He would do that for them and He wouldn't do it for me. I pray as much as they do. There goes your little half. You just turn it into a have, and God takes away the haves. But if you have... I'm not going to stay there too long because you're looking at me funny. I'm just telling you. Why could we not say, really? Yeah, really. I found out today. What are you going to do? I'm fixing to call them and say, praise God, it couldn't have happened to a better individual. Couldn't have happened to a better person. I'm so excited for you. Is there anything I can do to make you comfortable with this change you're going through? I'm telling you right now, when we take on that kind of demeanor about anything, for anybody, then the Lord's eyes are upon you. And He could be saying, greater things than these shall I do for you. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm just throwing it out because this is a pretty large crowd. And so I'm going to just simply say, if there's anybody that it has truly bothered you because God has blessed them, and you have let it be known with your demeanor and your attitude tonight, dig their number out of the whatever we call it. Somebody help me. Yep, the directory. That's what I meant to say. Dig their number out of the directory and call them. Don't stop calling until you get them and tell them, listen, all this trouble between us is just me, jealous. And I'm sorry. And I know what God is able to do for you, God is able to do for me. And even if He never did, God has already been so good to me, I could never repay Him. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the spirit that grows churches. That's the spirit that brings in revival. That's the anointing that breaks every yoke. And you've got the devil kicking the can again. I thought I had them this time. I thought I could put it in their hearts to be sour and ugly. I thought I had them. I thought I could get into their mind to be this way and that way. And then here you are on the phone saying, I'm sorry. I love you. I've always loved you. It's me. It ain't you. And I'm sorry. You just crucified the devil and made Jesus bigger than He's ever been in your life. I found out something about me, and I'll share it with you because it may be you as well. But there is always going to be someone that's going to be in the highlight, and there's always going to be someone that is going to get the acknowledgments. There needs to be. There should be. And there's always going to be somebody that accomplishes and they do just do great things. And there always should be. But they will never get there if they don't have someone that is willing to serve them. And that's what I mean. I mean serve them. I'm not asking anybody to serve me. I'm not asking that. Please understand. Understand. And that is that I am one of those. That's who I am. Amen. The things that I've said to my pastor in the last 2 years, the things that I've told him, the things that I've prayed over him and asked God to do for him, the things that I want him to accomplish and to see him accomplish, because I know if he will accomplish these things, that there will be tons of other people that will accomplish great things in their lives. I know this district will benefit from it. Amen. We had family camp just a few weeks ago. Brother Huntley called me and he said, Brother Marshburn, I want you to kick off family camp. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to do that stuff you do. That's exactly what he said. I laughed. I said, you want me to do that stuff I do? And I knew what he was saying. Amen. There's just a little something God's given me to be able to get the crowd going. And he wanted me to be the first voice that they heard because he wanted me to get the crowd going. And so that's what I did. I got the crowd going and then I turned it back over to them. But at the end of that service, when Brother Cunningham gave the altar appeal and he was speaking, I found myself on the platform behind a pew on my face before the Lord. If any of you were there, it was old North Carolina. You know what I'm saying? It was that revival feeling, that tension. And it was just a great service. And then the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. But you see, he didn't speak to me for me. He spoke to me for the man of God. I got straight up and ran to Brother Huntley, grabbed him in my arms, pulled him up tight, and whispered in his ear, and I said, the Lord told me to tell you, this was the worst service in the future of the North Carolina district. Did you catch what God said? In other words, if it was this good tonight and that was the worst service, how good is it getting ready to be? And so I learned something about myself, and that is, I'm a servant. If there's anything I can do to help somebody else, to encourage someone else, to strengthen someone else, amen, that's what I love to do. That's my demeanor and that's my nature. Amen. Praise God. And so, if we could ever find out that we are simply here to serve and to make things better for someone else, that in the process, you have to flow with the flowings of success, because God needs people like that. I didn't pray for success. Wasn't it Solomon? The Lord asked him, what do you want? I'll give you anything you want. What did he say? Give me wisdom, understanding. And the Lord basically said, because you asked for wisdom and you didn't ask for silver and gold, I'm going to give you your wisdom. And I'm going to give you some perks to go along with it. But if we come forth seeking the silver and the gold without the wisdom, we will never, ever see it. So we need understanding. We need to understand some stuff. Amen. Praise God. The most dangerous thing a Christian can say is, I don't understand. When you say, I don't understand, you open a major door of adversarial assault. You just open the door for the devil to attack you when we just want to continue to not understand. Amen. In all thy getting, the Bible said, get understanding. In other words, we are to follow understanding. We need to fathom understanding. We need to seize understanding. We need to take in understanding. We need to discern understanding, and we need to perceive understanding. Amen. All of these topics in which we could teach full time, full Bible studies, and would keep you a long time and many weeks in study. Follow, fathom, seize, take in, discern, and perceive. Number two, you can only float on emotionalism just so long. I've seen people live on emotionalism for a long time, live for God on a high emotion for a long time. and then only to fall off the cliff. Because while you were so always wanting to be filled with emotion, you never did seek God for true understanding. Amen. There will always be people that will believe something just because they wanted to. Amen. But not because the Lord or the Word of God expressed that to them and they saw that. People that want to believe and serve their own opinion have no regard for the Word of God. I don't know how you feel about it, but honestly, me, I don't have time for a bunch of charismatics that are bejeweled on every finger and that could care less about carefully understanding the Scripture. I don't care about a person like that. Amen. Hallelujah. They have things flowing their way, but it's only for a season. Because they come and they are gone. And you know the icons in those movements usually wind up in prison. And so it is. You can only float on emotionalism just so long. Let's look at Job 28:28. Job 28:28. Hallelujah. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil, now that is understanding. Amen. Praise God. When you and I in the flesh are the devil's greatest partner in our own troubles, don't look at somebody else and accuse them. Because there's not another soul in this world can make you do something you don't want to do or be something you do not want to be. I don't care how they treat you. That's your choice, and that's my choice. So, we depart from evil, right? Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said to depart. Let me see that again, brother. Help me out here. Bible study. Let's let it linger a while. Unto man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord. What is this fear he's talking about? Afraid of God? Or a reverence and a deep, deep respect and honor and love for God? Amen. That's wisdom. Because if you fear God to that point, then you're going to think twice about just flying off and having every kind of feeling and attitude and spirit. And to depart from evil, that's understanding. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says, Jesus is our example. And you know what the Bible said about Jesus? It said he went about doing good. That's what it said. But if you would think about that, that's powerful. Because for some people, it's hard to go about doing good. Right? For one reason or another. Praise God. How many of you were raised by bad parents? Don't you raise your hand. Some of you. Because some of you are of the age, you raise your hand, your parents are in here too. Don't do that, man. Oh, hallelujah. It doesn't matter how you were raised. It doesn't matter what the spirits were at home. Amen. You have a choice in the matter. You have a decision in the matter. And you can decide to have understanding, and that is to depart from evil. Do good. Just go about doing good. All things. That means everything. Good, bad, ugly, happy, sad, up and down, all around. Everything works together for the good of those that love the Lord. Everything. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. Do something good. Do something good. Surprise the devil and respond like the Lord would. Amen? Fear the Lord. That's wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy Ghost. The only way you can flee evil is have knowledge in the Holy Ghost. Depart from evil because that is understanding. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2. Amen? Let's look at that real quick. We're halfway. Wisdom is a hearing thing, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. That's why it blows my mind sometimes it really does, that me or anyone else on the ministry team can come up here and teach or preach their guts out about a particular subject, and we leave, and there's no change in certain individuals in that particular area. You know why there's no change? Because you might have heard it, but you did not incline your ear unto the wisdom of it. You didn't take it to the next level and meditate on it and find where in your life you could apply it. And apply your heart, the Bible says, to understanding. When you apply the need for wisdom, your heart's going to get understanding. Okay? Don't just pray for power. Don't just pray for... Listen, it is wrong. I believe it's wrong to pray for power. What if God gave you power and you don't have faith? You're like this big superhero that don't know what to do. You got all the muscle and you got the cape and everything. And you're going around saying, I don't believe that can happen. Hey, don't pray for power. Pray for faith. Pray for wisdom. Pray for understanding. When you get that, the power will come. Amen? There's power in lightning. But every time I see lightning on the lake, I want to go home. There's power in lightning, but when I see lightning on the golf course, I want to go home. Amen. I'm just saying. They were in the middle of the service the other night. Brother Marshburn was telling me, Sister Amanda had Cooper right beside her. They were in the middle of the service. Cooper looked at her and he said, I want to go home. There's power in lightning. But it's a scary thing for something to have all that kind of power and no certain direction. You will do more damage than you will do good. So, how many of you have the Holy Ghost? Come on now. Did you know that when you were filled with the Holy Ghost, that you received the same creative force that God Himself had when He created the universe? It's the same Spirit. So here you are with all this lightning. And if you're not praying and believing and trusting and looking and seeking and digging out wisdom and understanding, you are going to be a destructive force. Your influence on our new converts will be negative. Your influence on babies in the church will be negative. You'll abort them. Because you're going to come with stuff. You're going to tell them, you know, just ignorant stuff. This stuff they shouldn't even know about. Stuff that's history under the blood with other people. And you're going to share that with them and dig that right back out of the blood and put that in their heart. Amen. My wife almost lost a new convert individual. She said in her heart, I'm not coming back to church. Because someone came to her that had the Holy Ghost and has had it for a long time and shared all kind of stupid stuff with them when they could have been promoting wisdom and knowledge and understanding, praying for them, believing God, and telling them what the future is going to be for them instead of the past in somebody else's life. You see what I'm saying? Lightning. Lightning. A destructive force. Somebody got smart and learned how to take that same electricity that comes from lightning and put it on a wire and give it direction, and now we have lights. We can see in the dark. Boy, wouldn't that preach? Amen. We have electronic doors that we can enter in even if we don't have the strength to open it ourselves. Boy, wouldn't that preach? We have abilities and we have technology, all because somebody looked at lightning and said, if I could harness you and give you some direction, we could come up with something a whole lot better than what you're doing. And they did. They did. That's what I want to do with my Holy Ghost. I want to be able to give it direction in my life. I want it to have direct. I want it to impart wisdom. I want it to impart understanding so I can go about my life simply doing good so that when I have an influence on others, it can be positive and they'll be a blessing too as well. Am I making sense? Am I just rambling? I hope I'm not. Praise God. So wisdom is hearing something. Hearing things. Hearing things. Sound man, thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Everybody said, that's what I'm going to do. Amen. Don't just pray for power. Don't just pray for provision, but pray for understanding. Because when God gives you the power and the provision, understanding will help you maintain it. David was a great man. Am I right? Amen. Hallelujah. And let's go through some scripture real quick. Well, let me just tell you this. Write it down. Write it down. I want you to take it home and study it. Amen. Psalms 119. Amen. Write it down. Long. Write down Psalms 34. Write down Psalms 73. Write down Psalms 125. Write down Psalms 144. Write down Psalms 169. Hallelujah. Amen. Now say, somebody say, give me understanding. Praise God. Pray, cry, travail, shout over the word in secret places. By yourself, over the word of God in private places, in secret places. Pray over the word of God. Man, I was praying today, getting a hold of God. I was so connected. Amen. There wasn't anything else in the world. I turned a corner, and Jerry Hembry was right there in front of me. I thought I saw an apparition. I thought an angel was visiting me. Amen. First, I thought it was Robin Williams. Because they look so much alike. Praise God. Scared me to death, man. Hallelujah. Get so lost that if somebody were to walk up, you'd say, whoa. Man, I was expecting trumpets and angels and woo, hallelujah. You ever been there? If you haven't, you don't know what you're missing. I'm serious. Amen. Cry over the word of God. Weep over the word of God. Instead of weeping over asking God for stuff. Sometimes the worst thing he can do is give us stuff without understanding. Amen. Pray, cry, travail, shout over the word of God. Amen. The Bible, lift up your voice and cry for understanding. We pray for his will. We pray for his wisdom. We pray for his knowledge. We pray for his healing. That's good stuff. We pray for his provision. God provide. That's good stuff. How about his prevention? Amen. Lord, don't even let it happen. That's good stuff. Happy is the man that finds understanding. Praise God. Proverbs 19 and 8. Let's look at it real quick. Is this okay? Amen. We're getting there. Are we doing okay? We having fun yet? Proverbs 19 and 8. Praise God. He that getteth wisdom loves his own soul. He didn't say his flesh. He that loves wisdom loves his soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find what? Anybody want to find something good? Well, let's get understanding. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Proverbs 16:16. Proverbs 16:16. Hallelujah. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? Can somebody tell me? Stay right there, brother. Don't let it go anywhere. Can anybody tell me why it's better to find wisdom than gold? Talk to me. Say what, brother? It takes a wise man to receive things, to get to things, to understand things, to get to where they're going. So, rather than just try to bypass understanding and wisdom, it's kind of like somebody winning the lottery. They paid a dollar and won 90 million bucks. Have you even begun to heard the sad stories of those individuals? Have you? You need to look up their history. and find out what's happening to these people, it will blow your mind as to what is happening to these people that paid that dollar, $5, $20, and won all that money. It is devastating. Why couldn't they make a better lives for themselves? Because they had no wisdom nor understanding. Praise God. And so you don't need a lottery ticket if you'll let God give you the wisdom and understanding. Amen. Praise God. And so it is. Tell me what Solomon asked for. He asked for wisdom. And then what did he get? When he got wisdom, he got riches. Amen. I'm not talking about riches tonight. I'm sorry, and I apologize that a lot of times it just comes with it, but it just does. I'm telling you to pray for wisdom and to seek understanding. Amen? Praise God. Praise the Lord. The Bible, lift your voice and cry for it. Lift your heart and reach out for it. A preacher I recently preached for told me, referring to my golf game, and this is what he said about my golf game. I did not say this. He said, point of reference. He said, put your heart into this game, Brother Marshburn, like you do in your preaching, and you'll be awesome. Well, I appreciated that. He just told me I was an awesome preacher. But he told me I was a pitiful golf player. The bottom line, I don't care how good or bad I play golf, but my preaching is very important to me, and I ask God to help me to understand it, help me comprehend it, know what it's about, help me to know where I'm going, help me to know what to say. Give me a point of reference and let me know the end from the beginning of every sermon. Let me know what I'm up to, God, and what you're up to at the very same time. And He gives me understanding about it. He gives me a little wisdom about it. And that makes it to accomplish something. Don't just pray to be a preacher. Don't just pray for a message. Don't pray that I get to sing a song. Hello. Pray for understanding about this stuff. Pray for wisdom about this stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. And so 1 Kings 3 and 5. Amen. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give you. Ask. The prayer of Solomon. When he prayed that prayer, the speech pleased the Lord. How life will get better. Better fathers, better mothers, better employees, better daughters, better sons, better saints of God, better Christians, better husbands, better wives, better money managers, all because you asked for an understanding and not long life. You didn't ask for riches. And the Lord said, but I'm going to throw in some perks anyhow. God said, look at Daniel 10 and 12. Daniel 10 and 12. Amen. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself, in other words, discipline yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I am come for your words. Your words, Daniel, brought God to you. Not the moment you spoke them. He heard them the first time. But then he wanted to hear them again. And then he wanted to hear them again. And then he wanted to hear them again. 21 days in a row, 3 times a day, God wanted to hear it. And when he heard it that final time, that's when God came through for Daniel. Fear not, Daniel. I heard you the first time. I just wanted to know how serious you were. I just wanted to know how real you were. Amen. Praise God. And so it is not enough to know. It's not enough to believe. We've got to understand. You would be, if you and I would obtain understanding from God and make it an urgency to understand, make it an urgency to receive understanding, I personally believe that we would begin to walk in the ways of God, that we would take on His demeanor, that we would take on His spirit and His attitude, and people would be drawn to us instead of us trying to fit in with people. And when you try to fit in with people without understanding and you get left out, you feel abandoned. But you're not understanding something. It's not that people don't love you and they don't care for you. It's that they didn't think about you that time. And that shouldn't even matter to you. Because eventually you're going to be thought about by those people. But when you have understanding, you're going to be the one that's going to be the thinker. And people will be depending on you to think about them. That's the way it works. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, it's not enough to know and believe. We've got to understand. And if you would seek understanding, if I would continue to seek understanding, I believe that we would ultimately become too hot for hell to handle. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. People with no desire for wisdom, people with no desire for understanding, are easy for the devil to manipulate and use. But people that get their mind made up that, I want things. I do. I want the blessings of God. I want healing from God. I want everything that some of these folks in the Bible, I read about them getting. And I want to build a house that, like Solomon built. I want to have... back of your mind, there's nothing wrong with... Listen, but don't pray for that first. Because you'll be like someone that won the lottery. And you won't know how to handle your loved ones when you don't give it all to them. You won't know how to handle friends that feel like you got to give them money the rest of their lives. And da 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 da. You won't be able to handle the temptation of all the cocaine that you can have access to now, and all the drugs you have access to now, and the women or the men or whatever it might be. Hallelujah. But a little wisdom from God and a little understanding from the Lord will be able to impart into you the ability to cut that snake's head off before it ever struck. Instead of it striking and you saying, oh man, where did that come from? Understanding would have let you know it's been coming for a long time. Wisdom would have let you know that it's been happening for a long time. Amen? Praise God. Let me tell you what the total minus of not understanding is ultimately going to be, and that is this. The Bible calls it just punishment. It doesn't mean you're just going to be punished. It means punishment that is going to come to you justly because you did not desire understanding and you never hungered after wisdom. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. People that come to us and they say, get up. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Don't look at them and be angry. Look at them and say, that was wisdom. You know why? Because feeling sorry for yourself in a dilemma is the worst thing you can do. The devil can kill you in that process. But if we look at that and say, that's all right. Hey, man, the Lord walked with me to it so He can take my hand and walk me right through it. But if you don't have understanding, you can't even take on that nature. If you don't have the wisdom of it, you won't even take on that demeanor. The next time some big dilemma happens, you're just going to collapse and fall out and forget everybody else. And they got to carry you and themselves because they're going through it too. A little wisdom, a little understanding will make you get up, dust yourself off, and grab folks by the hand and say, come with me, we're going to go through this. Come hell or high water, if we live or die, we're going through this. We're going to make it through this. Now that is understanding. That's wise. Right? And that's what we need. I don't want punishment from God at the end because I never thirsted and I never hungered after wisdom or understanding. Amen. Praise God. Where there is no understanding, the Bible lets us know there's ramifications. There's repercussions that are negative. Hallelujah. Proverbs 12 and 11, and this is our final scripture. Proverbs 12 and 11. I want you to see this here tonight. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. It's common sense. You break the dirt and plant the seed and work it like you're supposed to, then you're going to eat bread from that dirt. Somebody say, that's understanding. That's wise. But he that followeth vain persons, people that are all about themselves, their trouble, their problems, unloading, dumping on you constantly, all of the time. I'm not talking about you and me. I'm pastor. You're supposed to do that with me. But I'm talking about that's your everyday conversation. How bad everything is. How terrible everything is. And when you get a little group and people follow you to hear all of that, that's a vain person. And the Bible says, he that followeth vain people are void of understanding. You're going to go hungry. And you're going to go thirsty. And you're going to go without. If I have any understanding at all, if I have any wisdom or knowledge at all, I wasn't born with it. I dug it out of God. I dug it out of God. And if you're going to get any wisdom at all, knowledge at all, understanding at all, you're going to have to spend some seasons of time with God and dig it out. Because I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there is an urgency in these last days to obtain understanding. Can I give you one more point and I'm done? A mom, a dad, a teenager perhaps. I don't know, 14, 15, 16 years old. They come to mom and say, I'm going swimming. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. I am afraid you're going to drown. And I can't go with you and be with you, so you're not going. If me or your dad can't be with you, you're not going. And bam, that was it. They did not go because she was adamant. A week later, that same teenager comes and says, I want to date a person out of the church. Well, you have to talk to your dad. Go to your dad. I want to date a person out of the church. Don't have the Holy Ghost, but I want to go out. I like them. I'm going to try to get them in the church. I'm going to... I don't know. See what your mom... And playing it back and forth. And finally, you're so slack, easy about it. You let it happen. Wham! Which was more important? The swimming issue or the dating issue? And the only way you're going to know is to seek God's face for wisdom and understanding. Because I can get up here and preach it and you get mad at me. And individuals are lost because they have the wrong relationship and it could have been cut off just like the swimming trip was cut off if you had been adamant and if you'd had the same strong conviction toward that. Wisdom. Knowledge. Understanding. That's just a simple sample illustration. We can talk about a lot of things. Paying bills or making money or working jobs. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer together, shall we? Holy Ghost, if you would permit it. Lord, if you would allow it. If you would let this pastor stretch forth his hand. And out of me let a hunger and a thirst for wisdom and knowledge and an urgency for understanding. If you would let it go out from my heart right now into someone's heart right now, I pray, Lord, let it be so. Let it go out in the name of Jesus, from my left to my right, from the middle to center to circumference, head high, feet below, in between. God, let it flow right now, a thirst, a hunger, a desire. Let us hunger for it like we would food. Let us thirst for it, Lord, like we would drink. Mighty God, let us desire it, Lord, like we desire money, like we desire wealth. In the name of Jesus, let a hunger be issued forth right now for understanding, to walk in wisdom, to walk in knowledge, so we can save our families, so we can save our loved ones, so we can reach this world, so we can grow a church. My God, in the name of Jesus. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen. God richly bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' wonderful name. Go with